Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Baba Basra, Daf Lamed Ches, Baba Basra 38. And on today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara is discussing the idea that if somebody wants to make a claim that this person has stolen their land and that they are dwelling in their land, then in order for that complaint to be a valid complaint, then the person must have registered that complaint within 3 years. Otherwise, the person who's now dwelling on the land, the machzik, will have established a chazaka to the property. So the person who's the ma'arer, the complainer, must have registered a macha, a complaint, within 3 years in order for it to be a valid complaint. There's a lot of debates in the Gemara about the parameters of this macha, and one of the debates revolves around the fact whether or not the macha, the complaint, needs to be in the presence of the person you are complaining about. And another discussion in the Gemara is whether or not if you made the macha in front of two witnesses who can't possibly get themselves personally to the person who is the machzik, whether or not that is also considered a valid complaint. So the Gemara asks, and the Rishonim say, this question is according to the one who says that you can do a macha, you can do a complaint, even not in the presence of the machzik. The Gemara asks, Hichi dami macha, what is the language of this macha? How does it have to be formulated? So comes along Rav Zvid, and he explains that this is the language. He says, if you would say, Pulanya Gazlanahu, if you would just say, this person who is on my property is a thief, Pulanya Gazlanahu, so-and-so is a thief, that is not a valid complaint. And he says, Lo have macha. That's ineffective, and it's not considered to be a macha. And the reason why that is not a valid complaint is because the person who is the machzik, who is living on that land, will hear this formulation saying so-and-so is a thief, and he won't necessarily know to watch the contract because he might assume that this person is just coming to defame me, and he's not necessarily coming to assert his rights to this land. If you just say you're a thief, it doesn't mean you're a thief and that is my property. It could mean any number of things. So therefore, you need to say, says Rav Zvid, you need to say the following. Polanya Gazlanahu, Dinakilala Are Begazlanuso. This so-and-so is a thief, and the reason why we know he's a thief is because he is seizing my property in a stolen fashion. Ulamachar, and the next day and tomorrow, Tavanale Bedina, the next day I will make a complaint to him in front of a court, and I will press my complaint. That is considered to be a valid macha. So the Rishonim discuss this question, and the Rishonim say, what is the essential part of the phrase? Since we said, if it just said Polanya Gazlanahu, if he just said he is a thief, that's not sufficient. So very clearly, the essential part is, and he's dwelling in my land. It's the land that he's dwelling in is my stolen land. Then that's the essential part. So now the Rishonim want to know, well, what about the first part of that phrase? So-and-so is a thief. Is that also essential, or is it really just the second part of the phrase that is essential? So about this, there's a dispute amongst the Rishonim. Both Rabbeinu Yona and the Rosh take the position that actually this is not an essential phrase. The phrase Polanya Gazlanahu is not essential. That the only reason why it's included in our Gemara is to teach us the idea that it's insufficient on its own to say that so and so is a thief. But and you need to say he's dwelling in my property. But if you left out that phrase entirely, says Rabbeinu Yona and the Rosh, that it's not essential and the phrase would still be a valid macha. Comes along the Ritva, and the Ritva argues with it. The position of the Ritva is to say that this language is actually essential. And the reason why we assume that this language is essential, says the Ritva, is because if you don't say that he is a thief, we might think that you're saying he's dwelling on stolen property just to make the point that I have a claim against this person for money in general, and that's why this land is stolen, but not that this specific land was once mine. So therefore, in order to make the point that this specific land was once mine, therefore you need to say he is a thief and he's dwelling on my stolen property. And therefore, the Ritva says both parts of the phrase are essential. Comes along the Gemara, and the Hasidic masters make the point that this idea of this phrase, and tomorrow I will make the claim against you in court, macharet tavanoe bedina, that is considered to be a valid macha. The Hasidic masters view in this a beautiful homiletic teaching. So we're taught that Rabbi Yitzchok of Skver, the Rebbe, was sitting around, and he heard the Hasidim saying, and they were saying, how can we talk about such divine spiritual matters? We're on such a low level. We're not going to be able to ever reach that level of Hashem. We are weak. And so says Rabbi Yitzchok of Skver, he quotes this Gemara, and he says, you know what it's like? It's like we are making a formal declaration before God, and we're saying this is something, and we know we're not fully able to comprehend it, we're not fully able to reach this level, but yet at the same time we're saying, Machar tavano lebedina, I'm going to eventually get there, tomorrow I'm going to make this statement, tomorrow I'm going to reach this level. And so that's the idea behind this phrase. We're saying today we're not at that level, but Machar tavano lebedina, today I'm not able to fix all my faults, but Machar tavano lebedina, eventually I'll be able to come before you, God, on that level.